Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. This week we have Jerry Hendricks, a retired Navy captain, one of the foremost experts in the world on the size and scope of the U.S. Navy, our foreign adversaries' navies, and pretty much anything that is in the water, whether it's a naval vessel, commercial vessel, or a submarine. Jerry, welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We're really pleased to have you this week.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be here, and I've been a fan of the podcast as well as your
appearances. Oh, you've listened to it.
I have.
Well,
I have.
Thank you very much.
And, I've been listening to it ever since John Batchelor told me to listen to it, and and I've also listened to you with him as well. So it's a great honor to be here and to talk about these conversations.
Well, you are here on a very important day because just this week, a few days ago, we had some action in the Strait of Hormuz, where historically – this is the area between Iran and the Persian Gulf and UAE, Kuwait. So about a third of the world's oil flows through there. For a long time, we've been there as a U.S. Navy making sure that that shipping lane stays open. But this week, we had a little bit of an incident with our U.K., United Kingdom allies. And I thought maybe it'd be good for if you can walk us through what happened this week and what do you see as the challenging trends here over the next coming month.
Well, there's contextually here, of course, Iran has come under sanctions. And these sanctions are supposed to be upheld not only by the United States but also our European allies and partners. And about 2 weeks ago, the British seized an Iranian tanker near Gibraltar. There was a thought that tanker was, in fact, carrying contraband, and there's conflicting news stories about what's on there, but what we do know is the British have arrested the captain of that ship. And so there was a British tanker that was entering into the Arabian Gulf, going through the Strait of Hormuz and moving up to take on its cargo, and the Iranians began to act in a threatening manner. And of course, they've been talking publicly about seizing a British tanker in retribution for the Brits seizing their tanker. And so this tanker was essentially trying to maneuver very cautiously, very carefully, and that tanker was under escort.
And it was coming from where?
So it comes through Strait of Hormuz, comes through the Mediterranean, and then it goes El Bab Mandeb, sort of the Strait of El Bab Mandeb, which is in the bottom of the Red Sea, and then it translates through the Gulf of Oman and then comes up to the Strait of Hormuz into the Arabian Gulf. So it's a big U-turn there coming out of the Mediterranean.
And where did the Iranians try to intercept this ship?
So from what I understand, the interference began south of the Strait of Hormuz, began to have a shadowing, continued through the Strait of Hormuz, and then ultimately even up into the Arabian Gulf. So it was a prolonged incident.
Okay.
But the one thing that we know, and this is important.
So it was empty going to get refueled.
That's right.
And come back out.
Yep.
Okay.
So what is important about this, though, is that a British escort vessel of the Royal Navy, one of the proudest and longest heritage in naval service, HMS Montrose, was in escort. And at some point in time during this interchange, HMS Montrose trained its guns. And so actually swiveled its guns to bring the Iranian coastal patrol boats and vessels to bear. So that's a direct threatening operation. So this was no longer innocent passage, which is a term of art within the Navy, of those ships just transiting through an international strait. This was Great Britain putting the Iranians on notice that if they made another escalatory move, that they would bring them under fire. And so to actually train your guns is a increase in what we call the rules of engagement.
And what size were these Iranian vessels? Because I've read different reports, but it was several Iranian ships, smaller ships?
Yes. And so the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps puts out a lot of small boats. So we're talking about small, fast boats. We would think of them as patrol boats, but they act in what we call swarms. They come out and they make multiple passes from multiple vectors. The Iranian Navy also has larger coastal patrol boats that were in the area. But it was my understanding that it is the IRGC, which, by the way, have been recognized as a terrorist organization by several international institutions, that were acting in the provocative and threatening way. And so that's when HMS Montrose took and trained its guns and brought them to bear. Now, there are also other U.S. vessels in the area. We have Coastal Patrol boats ourselves, small, what we call Cyclone-class boats in that area, including USS Whirlwind, which was actually commanded.
Now, would those be like the size of your traditional like Coast Guard cutter that people see along the coast protecting the shores of the U.S.?
Smaller. So about 140 feet. And so a Coastal Patrol boat, not a full-size ship. We actually call it a boat. It's actually commanded by a Navy lieutenant commander, has a crew of four officers and about 28 to 34 enlisted men. So it's a very small crew. But we have several of those Coastal Patrol boats in the Arabian Gulf, in what we call the Fifth Fleet domain, where they are perfect to operate in the very shallow waters of the Arabian Gulf. Most people don't understand that the bottom contour of the Arabian Gulf is extremely shallow, very hard for deep draft vessels like destroyers to operate.
And we probably should make sure that people know that the Navy for CENTCOM, for Central Command, is located in Bahrain.
That's right.
So it's just right in the heart of the Persian Gulf.
Yeah, so you have to get around the Strait of Hormuz. You're actually up in the Gulf, and it's off on the western side in Bahrain, so one of the emirate states that's in there. And we've been there for the better part of 20-plus years now with a permanent presence, U.S. Navy in CENTCOM with Fifth Fleet as well. So it's a three-star command in that area.
So the British, they brought what was the ship that came in? You said the Montrose?
Yeah, HMS Montrose.
So this is the Royal Navy of old. Are they back? Are they back again? Are they performing?
It's kind of interesting because a lot of this conversation that's been going on for the last week is whether the Europeans would go along with us in continuing to bring pressure to bear on the Iranians. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk, but when the chips were down, the Royal Navy was there to uphold its interest, our interest, and the international interest of the region and continue to bring this economic pressure to bear on the Iranians. If they had been able to capture that British tanker, then it would have been a diplomatic incident and could have led to war. As it was, by showing a firm demonstration of resolve, the Brits de-escalated the situation by forcing the Iranians to break down.
So once the Royal Navy arrived with the ship, did they dissipate from the news reports that you're hearing, the Iranian?
From what I understand, after the Royal Navy began to train its guns, then the situation de-escalated. So I think that that's a key. I mean, I think we've tried to be too diplomatic, too politique, you know, in a lot of our processes. If someone's going to bully you, it's time to begin ratcheting up and demonstrating that you're not going to take it.
And the British fleet did that this week.
That's right. They upheld some of the great Nelsonian traditions of the Royal Navy.
Well, we really appreciate you having on, and I want to have you back on just to talk more historical in nature. But folks can find you're at the Center for...
No, I'm at Telemus Group. So I was in a think tank in town, but now I work at a national security consultancy, the Telemus Group, where I do essentially analysis, strategic analysis.
So, but I know you still write occasionally. Yeah. So if people want to find your writings, where can they go to see those?
National Review and National Interest are the two areas where I write.
Jerry, thanks a lot for being on the Devin Nunes podcast this week.
My pleasure.
This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days.
Not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.